Welcome into the Inside the NFL Prospects podcast series. I'm Jack Borowski, joined here alongside my co-host Brian Sternberg. On this episode, we are fortunate to have on Dylan Rader. Dylan is a starting left tackle to the defending champion North Dakota State Bison and is one of the top returning players in all of FCS football. Dylan, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Dylan, to start, when thinking about last season, we know you guys had a remarkable season. I think people were counting you out towards the beginning, and it was one of the best seasons we've seen in recent memory. As a team as a whole, what do you feel you guys have to do to defend and win another national championship next season?
We just got to keep shooting for a higher goal. I mean, we've had back-to-back seasons undefeated, and you always try and set for a higher goal the next season and how many more games you can win. But when you go undefeated, it's in the offseason, you got to find a way to push each other, look at each other. We had a lot of young guys this season, looking at those young guys, looking forward to them to step up and just pushing each other in the offseason, following the weight program through our weight coach, who's the pride and soul of this program. So just pushing each other, always competing against each other, and just the brotherly family feeling.
And Dylan, let's go back to your redshirt freshman season. You played 15 snaps in the first game, then you suffered a season-ending injury. How difficult was it to see the season cut so short?
It was super difficult. I mean, it's your redshirt 1 year. You don't play in a football game for a whole year, and then 15 plays into having fun, you tear your ACL. And so I remember that day. I remember the phone call the next day. I walked out of the field, didn't think anything was wrong, and then next day went and got the MRI, and they told me I tore my ACL. And yeah, it was a bummer, but struggled with it for a few months. But it was honestly one of the best things that could happen to me, because it forced me to mature faster, forced me to learn the game in a lot of different aspects, like film and technique, just being able to critique all that to a whole nother level, just because I couldn't do a lot of things physically. So it definitely helped me mature mentally a lot.
When we talk about adversity, every player goes through it, and it's such an important aspect of growth, like you just touched on. In your opinion, playing that offensive tackle position, what type of mentality do you feel you need to have to be successful?
There's a lot of different ways to look at it. I mean, you got to have a hard-nosed, gritty mentality, especially at North Dakota State. We run power, and being the tackle, you're the hammer to the nail on power. I mean, So the guard's posting the guy up, and you got to have a hard-nosed, gritty mentality that you're going to move that guy no matter what. And then at the same time, you got to be smart. You got to be able to pick up all those blitzes. You got to be able to handle the adversity of if you're a young guy, you got to be able to see what the defense is throwing at you. And then you got to be able to be quick on your feet, be athletic, and handling all the outside rushes, even able to handle the power rushes too. So all those things compiled into one just kind of helps define you as a good left tackle.
And Dylan, what would you say are some of your biggest responsibilities as an offensive tackle?
The biggest one is protecting the quarterback and the running back. We had a young quarterback this year, and at all costs, as a semi-older offensive line, we knew we had to protect that young quarterback, and we were able to let him do what he needed to do, and he balled out, and I think that showed. And then on top of it, we love to run the ball at North Dakota State, so being able to check those running backs, getting those running backs extra yards, and then picking them up after they get tackled. And so our biggest priority is protecting our guys. And I take pride in that as an offensive lineman. I mean, I've said it before, and it's the only position in all of sports where your sole purpose is to protect your teammates. So just being able to do that, I think, is huge.
And for those who don't know, quarterback in North Dakota State, Trey Lance, last season, 28 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. At what point, Dylan, did you realize we have the real deal at quarterback, and though this guy is just in his first year as a starter, that he's going to be able to help us contend for a national championship?
I mean, going back, we always knew he would be a good candidate, good guy. We always had our faith in him. In the offseason, even watching him throw the ball, he's got a crazy talented arm. But then after the first few games, mentally-wise, just getting used to it. I mean, everybody's got those little hiccups right away, just little audible calls. But after about the third game, when we went through and he didn't have any mistakes and he was calling out things left and right, being super poised and stuff, I was like, all right, we got the real deal back there. We need to protect him because we know he's going to do his job. So we got to make sure we're doing our job nice and sound. So I'd say about 3-4 games in, we were 150% confident. Like, we knew we were going places with this kid. And I think it shows. There's a huge testament to him. He's a huge, greatly talented kid. And just the brotherly aspect he brought to the team and he brings to us offensive line is huge.
And Dylan, talking about stars on this team, one of the best pass rushers probably in FCS, Jabril Cox, is no longer with you. But when you spent time with him, how was going up against him in practice and in scrimmages? How did that help your development as a player?
Helped me a lot. I mean, he's super athletic. I mean, even just blocking him at second level, I'll talk about that first. He's super quick. He'll shed blocks. I mean, he'll do a little hesitation moves on you. So being able to lock him down in practice, we're taking those small victories and learning how to do that because he's super athletic, super quick, got those long arms, able to get away from you. And then on the edge pass rush, I mean, we didn't have him blitzing too much in practice, but when we did, I mean, it's just a speed guy, long arms, like I said, being able to use that athletic ability. So switching from a guy who bull rushes to a guy who's able to speed and jump around like that is huge. Just helping you stay quick on your feet, helping you keep your hands inside, keep locked down on his inside shoulder pad. So, yeah, losing him is going to be a heck of a loss for us. But we're always the next man up kind of mentality up at North Dakota. So good for him. I wish him the best luck at LSU. But I got a feeling we're not going to be too hindered by it.
At North Dakota State, you took a redshirt year your freshman season. We know you unfortunately had to do that as a sophomore as well. But during your freshman year in particular, what did you work on and who in particular helped you get adjusted to the collegiate game and just understanding things as a whole?
Obviously, coaches are huge. I mean, some of the older guys are huge. I'd say the main person would be our weightlifting coach, Coach Kramer. I mean, a lot of the guys, I'm just saying 99% of the guys that go through that program are going to say he is the heart and soul of that team. So, because you're with him from the beginning summer all the way till the end, you're with him all off season. He's practically your coach 50% of the year. So, when you come in as a freshman, he's huge on food, weight gain, all that stuff, getting muscle on. So, as a undersized offensive lineman coming out of high school, I was 260 pounds maybe. And so going in that freshman year was definitely put the weight on, but at the same time work with Kramer. So I know how to use my strength. It's not all fat. And then I can be able to move my feet quick still because you can't just be a blob out there moving around slowly. So those are probably the huge things. And Kramer's definitely the guy that was the biggest impact.
And you mentioned weight. How hard was it for you to put on weight?
It's hard at times because, I mean, you don't like seeing your body change all the time. And then at other times you're like, I'm so full. And then Kramer's sitting there yelling at you, you got to keep eating. Because if you don't make weight, you're pushing plates. And then if you push plates, you lose more weight. So then you got to eat more. So it's down in the food. Eve, and you're sitting at the dinner table and you're full and you just want to go take a nap during fall camp, but you got to eat more food. So I'd say that's definitely the hardest part, is just staying on top of it and eating healthy stuff and a lot of that healthy stuff, because you could put on weight eating garbage food, but eating the healthy stuff and a lot of it is definitely the hardest part.
In addition to Coach Kramer, you guys have head coach Matt Entz. What's it like playing under him, and can you describe your relationship with your head coach?
He's definitely a player's coach. I think we heard a lot. I got recruited by Craig Bohl, and then it went to Kleiman. But we heard a lot that Bohl was more of a analyst kind of guy, wasn't too much into the touchy kind of feeling kind of way. And then Kleiman came, and they said he was more of a player's coach. And then I think Coach Entz learned about that, and I think he's more of a player's coach too. And but I think he's a little hard-nosed, kind of just doesn't take any crap from anybody kind of a thing, and kind of like one strike you're out. If you messed up, you don't have too many more chances to make up. So just being able to connect with him a lot and see his philosophy on, because a lot of the guys don't like the other guys mess up and then get third and fourth chances. So being able to connect with him and be like, hey, we're on the same page with other guys messing up or not, but yeah, he's a player's coach. We'd be around his family. We'll FaceTime, especially during this coronavirus, we'll FaceTime him, and he'll be talking with his family. He'll have his kids on the FaceTime. So it's a really tight-knit group. I mean, I think every head coach has always instilled the family kind of mentality, family atmosphere up there. So that's kind of our relationship with every coach. And, yeah, especially him. He's got to lead by example, and he's definitely done that correctly.
And Dylan, coming from Minnesota, can you talk about the whole recruiting process with, and why did you decide to choose North Dakota State?
I got to a point in high school, I was just fortunate enough, blessed by God, to be a tall, lanky kid. So a lot of people saw potential in me, and I thank God for that. But I got recruited by a lot of schools, just going here and there. Really wish... Really, at the time, was hoping to be a Gopher. Never really happened. Got a preferred walk-on to Wisconsin. Got a late offer to Mizzou. Really wanted to play defensive end down in New Mexico. Stuff like that. I took trips to Wyoming and Nebraska. I don't know. I think any normal recruiting process. And then North Dakota State was always my – they were my second offer, and they're always on my radar just because they're close. My mom will be able to see me play, and – ultimately, at the end of the day, I was like, I like the family atmosphere. I like the coach, the O-line coach at the time, Coach Riley, is now at Kansas State. He was huge in the recruiting process for me. He's a family guy. I mean, could talk your ear off, super friendly. Had a lot of confidence in me, which I definitely felt. And yeah, it encouraged me to go to North Dakota State. And just the distance, you know, being able to have my mom come to every single game is huge. And yeah, and then, of course, the championship and family culture they have up there was huge. And so it was kind of a no-brainer to me, seeing all the guys that have went to the NFL out of there, especially O-linemen like Billy Turner and Joe Haig, and they're still playing in the league as of now. So just seeing the greatness that is instilled there, the family atmosphere, is huge.
In high school, as you touched on, played defensive line. How do you think playing defense helped you as an offensive tackle and understanding the position?
I think a lot of it was hand placement and footwork. I mean, you learn, and the mentality of what the defender's trying to do to you. So I played both ways in high school. Obviously, I was predominantly a defensive lineman. That's what I won some awards for, and that's what I loved to do. It was fun. But yeah, so being from the defense side of the ball, I understand what they're trying to do to you, understand some of the blitzes, some of the games they run, how they want to place their hands on you, the footwork. So being able to understand that and coming off the edge, I mean, you kind of learn the speed aspect, your feet get quicker. So being able to carry that into an offensive lineman, and then just understanding the mentality of a defensive lineman, what they're trying to do to you.
Dylan, film watching is such an important aspect of football, being able to understand and break down. When you're watching film, especially on opponents, what do you look for in their game?
Watching defense line, I mean, we're scouting guys. We'll get scouting reports from the coaches, but individually when I go in there, watching any tells, any keys, any changes in their foot stance is huge, I think, whether they're going to come off hard, come off soft, whether they're going to drop into coverage. Anything like that, blitz tells, the tells are the first thing I look at. And then the next thing will be, what is their predominant rush move? How do they react to different run blocks and zone blocks or power, anything like that? And calculate into a percentage of how often they do that. And then throughout the week, you just practice those, counters to those moves and practice them all week. And so that way, when you come to game time, you're ready to see the best they got. And every game, you're going to see something new, so you got to be able to be prepared for that. You're not going to always be able to catch everything on film. So, just watching the tells and then watching to see what they do so you can come prepared for that.
And you've had a ton of experience now playing collegiate football, but how have your film habits changed and gotten better over the course of your career?
I think my technique is huge. I know I got a lot of work on. But just being able to just put out better film, being able to analyze that film, and being able to work on the technique, work on just a lot of the hand placement, a lot of foot placement, a lot of the pad level type deal, being able to work on all those things just to develop better film in the future, for sure.
Dylan, not many players can say that they play with their brother. What is it like playing with your brother?
It's going to be huge this year, especially if he's going to be able to play. I mean, it's a blessing that redshirt freshmen now, or if you redshirt, you get to play four games no matter what. So my brother played 2 years in JUCO. He still has a redshirt available and then 2 more years of eligibility. So no matter what, I know I'll be able to get to play with him this year. We'll see how he does. It's kind of unfortunate spring ball is canceled with this whole COVID-19 thing, but we'll see him perform in the summer, hopefully, and perform in fall camp, and hopefully we'll be able to get him on the field this year and playing next year, brother. I mean, it's something that me and him cherish so much. We got to win 2 state championships together in high school, and just after every single one, just hugging your brother, especially where we come from. Our dad instilled football in us at a young age, and unfortunately he passed away when we were pretty young. So just being able to share that moment with my brother and being able to share that with our dad also is huge. So anytime I get to play next to my brother, it's going to be a huge opportunity. I'm going to be smiling year to year, just being able to see him do his thing and me do my thing, and just hoping that our dad's up there watching. So.
And how have you guys, you and your brother, helped each other out throughout your careers, not only in football, but just in life in general?
This, a lot of things. I mean, I could sit here and talk hours and hours, but I'd say the main thing is I've been blessed. I still don't, I got a lot of the good genes, I'd say. He's like an inch and a half shorter, maybe a little more stiff. He was a wrestler. I was a basketball player. Maybe that had something to do with it, but, just me being able to perform well, and then him and his work ethic and abilities to just work hard all the time, no matter the circumstances, no matter the adversity, no matter what's going through his life. I mean, he's inflicted that on me, and then I've been able to coach him, being the older kid, learned a lot of things. I've been able to coach him in his technique, coach him in that, in this and that. But his heart and his drive and his desire just to do everything in life has had a huge impact on me, and just being able to feed off of him and that. And then I know he looked up to me, and him looking up to me, I just try to set a good example for him, and hopefully I am, and he feeds off of that. And yeah, we push each other nonstop, give each other crap nonstop. I mean, it's a competitive atmosphere for sure, but at the end of the day, we're brothers and we're trying to make each other better. And I think that showed a lot.
And Dylan, defending national champion, if you could play one FBS football team, who would it be and why?
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of answers to that. Being from North Coast State and just everything that goes on up here, up north, I'd have to say it's got to be the Gophers. Last 2 times we played them, we beat them. And just, there's so many, I mean, it is what it is. The fans argue over if we would be able to compete with them, if we'd be able to beat them, stuff like that. And I'd love to play them, just because, you know, being from Becker, I was so close to the cities, wasn't really recruited by them, even though I was recruited by Wisconsin. So just stuff like that, I was just like, all right, let's go play the Gophers since they think they're big time, and let's go see if we can put up a good game against them. And like, no super hard feelings, but I think it'd be a cool atmosphere. I think our fans would love it. Their fans would love it. And I, even just watching them play SDSU last year and only beating them by a touchdown and then having a great season after that, I think it just kind of, I mean, it's hard to translate games like that, but at the same time, it just kind of shows that a lot of people think that FCS is just kind of a joke, but I think we can compete with FBS schools, and I think beating the Gophers would show a lot of fans up north here.
Next year, first game of the season, you guys get to play Oregon, which is probably the featured matchup of the first week of the season. How have you guys, I know it's a while out and you don't want to prepare for only one game a year, but how are you guys getting ready for your opening game against a team like Oregon?
Yeah. So obviously it's in there. I mean, we're ranked, 5 or 6 at the end of the season, something like that. I mean, they're a good school. It'll be a cool atmosphere, good team. And yeah, it's going to be fun to play them. But preparing for them, I mean, there's a little snippet here. Coach will throw in a picture here, throw in a picture there, show us who we're going to be going up against. But it's just at North Dakota State, I know you said like we'd want to take one game at a time, but that's exactly it. I mean, in spring ball, we would have practiced against each other. We wouldn't have installed Oregon's defense. We wouldn't have done anything like that. We would have trained all summer for our own thing. But I think it's just a little little nitpicks here and there of guys saying, oh, you guys want to be Oregon next year. Well, you're going to have to go through this. Or when you're struggling through a workout, your teammates will be like, oh, that guy from Oregon is going to beat the crap out of you if you don't perform well in this workout and stuff like that. So, it's a one game at a time kind of mentality. We're not going to prepare for them schematically right away. We're going to wait till fall camp to do that. But it's definitely a mentality like, hey, we got to go prove ourselves and we got to be able to put up a good fight against these guys so we can show that North Dakota State isn't nothing to just be tossed around about. So,
Dylan, what is a typical game day like for you? And what is it like playing at the Fargo Dome?
Typical game day. I mean, we wake up. I think we can sleep until about 8:30, 9. I read out of my Bible. So first thing I do when I get to the locker room, do a little prayer. Then we got a field goal meeting, go eat, and then have some more meetings. And then it's jump in the hot tub, hit some equipment in the training room just to get loosened up, go out on the field, walk through my playlist, walk through all the steps, all the plays that I need to remember, all the footwork and stuff. And then it comes game time. And when you run out of that dome, or when you run out of that helmet for the first time, it's a real feeling hearing 19,000 fans and fireworks going off in that small dome. It's crazy to just absorb that atmosphere. And the first time you run out, it's the craziest thing in the world. And every single time after that, it just gets better. So, and watching our defense on the field, I could not imagine playing in an atmosphere that loud. So I think that's one thing that we're very fortunate to have is I know when we were on offense on the road, we never had a crowd that loud. So being able to play in there with all those fans, all that community, that family bond that we have with our fans is huge. And I think it definitely gives us a good home field advantage.
Dylan, we see your progression over the course of your career, but are there any underclassmen who haven't gotten that media attention yet, but stood out to you as guys who should be on draft radars pretty soon?
I feel like Nash Jensen, I played with him this year. He's a freak specimen. He came into NDSU at 375 pounds, dropped down to 330 pounds, and the guy moves and lifts crazy amounts of weight, moves like a deer still. And just, I think in 1 to 2 years, he'll be on draft lists. And I think he's the big one. We're three seniors playing right now, so we haven't seen a lot of the other guys play yet. But I think all the other guys have potential. We have two freshmen that came in this past year that are both 6'7". If they follow the program, they follow Kramer, I'm sure they'll get their opportunities. So it's cool seeing the potential in all these young guys. It's just a matter of they're willing to put in the work in the summer, willing to follow the program to a T. And like I said, Nash Jensen's probably the guy that I'd be looking at in the next 1 to 2 years.
And Dylan, if you could be trained by one player currently in the NFL or retired, who would it be and why?
Oh, Joe Thomas, hands down. He's been my guy forever. I mean, growing up in Minnesota, I don't know why I was always a Wisconsin fan, and then being able to see him do what he did in the league. I mean, I watched his film religiously during the season when I'm preparing for games. I watch YouTube videos of him, just being able to try and not exactly mimic him, but realize how he was so good and just the mentality he played with and all the videos. I mean, it's not like he's out there cussing people out or anything like that. He's out there having fun doing his thing, just cheering his teammates on and just having that mentality, I think is huge. And yeah, he's obviously super skilled and super successful, so he'd definitely be my guy.
And Dylan, we know NFL next goal, but do you have any career aspirations once your football career is over?
Yeah, I'm pretty big into my religion, so somewhat helping out either my community directly that I end up living in, or missions around the world, helping out people in need, helping out people who are less fortunate than me, just giving people opportunities to see the light that God displays on us every day, and just being able to push people towards that and allow them to see that, because I've been blessed so much in my life, and just I couldn't imagine anybody not being able to see that. So providing opportunities for people to see that. I'm going to school for an engineering degree. So even in an engineering field, it's very intriguing to me. It doesn't directly correlate with religion, but somehow correlating that into a benefit for people to see the light of God and just all that stuff. I think it'd be huge for me. So any way to impact community, any way to help people out is going to be a huge thing for me once football is done, even during football too.
And Dylan, for any rising high school football player, what is the best piece of advice you could give to them?
Have fun in high school. Don't be obviously be responsible. Understand you got to put in the work. You got to put in the work to do things. But don't quit a sport because your football college tells you to quit a sport. Play all three sports. That's what I was told. I felt it was super beneficial. Have fun in high school. Do all the fun things a high school kid should do. Obviously you got to do some things a little different. Maybe wake up in the mornings a little bit earlier, get your weightlift sessions in and all that stuff. And you got to grind a little harder, but, have fun in high school. Enjoy it. Don't just put yourself on the burners right away and immediately think that you have to do this and that. You have to hire the most expensive trainer and stuff like that. I think you got to have a hardworking mindset, but you got to have a mindset of also like, this is life. You got to enjoy it. Don't grind yourself down to a nub and sit there and be miserable. So, yeah, that'd be my advice to guys. There's a lot of other advice you should probably follow too. But just coming from my experiences, I've seen a lot of guys that just breaks them. And then when they don't get that college offer they're looking for, then they worked all that and just grind themselves through a nub and was worth almost nothing. And they didn't get to enjoy any of it. So, yeah, that'd be my advice.
That was Dylan Radins with the North Dakota State Bison. We really appreciate your time and best of luck next season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.